This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Narendra Modi, thrice elected Prime Minister of India, traveling to China, to Tianjin, a port city in China, for an annual meeting of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. In the event was an opportunity for the heads of state and leaders from the countries to confer and meet and smile and be diplomatic. At one point, Mr. Modi was diplomatic and smiling and agreeable to Xi Jinping, the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, and other presidents, including Mr. Putin. The question here is, India, long understood as the most important republic on the planet, given the size of the population and its geography, has India gone over to the adversaries in some fashion? Sadanand Dume of the American Enterprise Institute writes a column, East is East, for the Wall Street Journal. Here is here to explain and understand Mr. Modi's position, because it has to do with tariffs, it has to do with politics, has to do with the dairy lobby. Sadanand, a very good evening to you. I saw Mr. Modi's agreeableness as the diplomacy of a leader of a major state with other major states. But there was alarm. Why was he there? What did he accomplish? And what about the dairy lobby? Good evening to you.
Very good evening, John. There's a lot in that question. Well, he was there because India is a member of this organization called the SCO, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which is supposed to be focused on security and counterterrorism, and has as its sort of two founding members, China and Russia, and then the Central Asian states. India has been a member for a few years. And typically, Prime Minister Modi does attend SCO summits. He hasn't attended all of them, but he has attended many of them before. So to that extent, this is not unprecedented. The reason people have been talking so much about this is basically twofold. The first is that this is Modi's first visit to China in 7 years. He had not visited China since the border clashes that happened between India and China in 2020, where 20 Indian soldiers lost their lives and at least 4 Chinese soldiers lost their lives. So China-India relations have been in something of a deep freeze. And so Modi, the symbolism of Modi going to China for the first time in 7 years is one thing that struck many people. The second is that it comes against a backdrop of dramatically declining U.S.-India relations. As you know, President Trump has slapped 50% tariffs on India. Those are among the highest tariffs in the world. And this has really sort of set off a lot of both soul-searching and outrage in India. And so a lot of people were interpreting this as Modi moving closer to China and Russia and away from the United States, just because of these recent developments.
The dairy lobby. I learned from your column in the Wall Street Journal that it is 16% of the GDP, but a dominant player when it comes to politics. How so?
So that's not only dairy, that's farming in general. India has by far the largest pool of people engaged in agriculture on the planet. So let me just give your listeners a few very quick figures. 44% of India's workforce is related to agriculture. In the U.S., that is only 2%. In China, it's about 22%. And so what this means is that when India starts negotiating trade deals, it always has to be very, very careful of this enormous farm lobby. And one of the sticking points we've seen in the U.S.-India trade negotiations has been India's refusal to allow the U.S. to sell dairy products into India. And the reason for that is that the average herd size in the U.S. is about 380 cows. In India, the average herd size is 2 to 4 cows or buffaloes. It's basically a couple of buffaloes tied up in someone's backyard. And then they aggregate this. And in fact, India is the world's largest producer of milk. But because it's a very inefficient system, and because there are so many people engaged in farming, including in dairy farming, India uses very high tariffs to protect the market, and that's been one of the sticking points in U.S.-India trade negotiations.
The India import for farm products was 39% or everything?
The tariffs is on agriculture and farm goods.
I see.
They also have high, that's about the average 39% tariff, but India also has very high tariffs on dairy.
All right, we've got some numbers here. 50% is the retaliation, I guess, from the U.S. 39% is India. Can they work this out? It looks like they could compromise.
I think there's room for compromise. I think, you know, one of the other sticking points has been that India is completely opposed to any kind of GM food crops. And the expert I spoke with said that, the compromise could look something like this. India could allow in some dairy as long as that dairy is grass-fed, because they have kind of religious objections to, dairy that is fed animal products. And then they could also allow in a certain amount of genetically modified crops if they're used for things like animal feed or ethanol and so on. That's one sort of, picture of compromise. And then the other thing is that India could obviously up its buying of American energy and also American weapons. And I think a lot of that is already on the table. It's just a question of finding a deal that works. And also the delicate question that we just spoke about last time, where President Trump seems to want India to give him credit publicly for the ceasefire between India and Pakistan that took place in May. And the Indians are very reluctant to have any kind of public acknowledgement of any outside power in its relations with Pakistan. So that's the second sort of wrinkle. And the third one is the question of Russian oil, where the reason Trump has imposed this 50%, out of that 25%, is because India is one of the largest buyers of Russian oil.
However, back to the handshaking in Tianjin. It is my understanding over the years that India has remained extremely vigilant about Chinese aggression, and that's not likely to change with a handshake. Is that accurate?
That's 100% accurate, John. I mean, the fact is that India and China have very deep-rooted problems. They have a boundary dispute that stretches back decades, and it shows no signs of resolution. And that the Chinese are by far Pakistan's closest partner and ally. They call each other Iron Brothers. The Chinese arm the Pakistanis. They helped them in this recent conflict with India. So India may have reason to be upset with the U.S., but I don't think that India is in any position to jump into Xi Jinping's arms anytime soon.
And India's national security apparatus remains in the watchtowers for Chinese aggression. Is that correct? No standout?
No, absolutely, because they recognize that China remains the primary threat. The problem is only that what we had begun to see was much closer, much faster, much deeper U.S.-India cooperation. And that seems to be, that it looks like that will slow. It may even reverse. But that doesn't mean that India is going to pick China instead.
Sadanand Dume, he writes the East is East column for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. He's at the American Enterprise Institute.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,